this is Esme Scarborough in England. My mum used to work for the RSC, and I think your podcasts are fire trucking brilliant.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 127, Mum's the Word. On this very special Mother's Day podcast, you're going to get to hear a beautiful musical tribute to mothers everywhere from the comedy music duo Paul and Storm. But first, Dee Ryan, the Reduced Shakespeare Company's answer to Sarah Vowell, reads an essay describing her experiences as an incredibly desirable demographic and literally brings new meaning to the term soccer mom.
The AYSO, American Youth Soccer Organization's, motto is, everybody plays, but the fine print reads, when every parent volunteers. There are many ways to help out the team mom, coach, assistant coach, snack monitor. The correct answer to the question, would you like to referee, is, no, thank you. I know that now. I'm late. The referee clinic is supposed to begin at 9 at Pan Pacific Park. It's 9:15. I can never get out of the house on time anymore. There's always a mommy emergency just as I open my front door. Today it was a missing sippy cup. I'm supposed to be here all day to earn my referee certification. I'm pissed off already. They promised me at sign-up that all that refereeing requires is standing on the field and blowing a whistle. Now I had to give up my whole Sunday. I could use another cup of coffee. I push open the door to the gym. I'm David Wilson. I'm here for my son, really. He's in U8. Six men sit in a circle on metal chairs, taking turns standing and introducing themselves. I grab an empty chair and sit down. I'm Pete Wazeka. I played soccer in college, and I have a boy in U6. I'm Carl Fortuna. I have two boys in U6 and U10. It's my turn. I think I've made a mistake. Where are all the other women? The other moms? What year is this? Maybe I'd rather be snack monitor. I grab my pocketbook and start for the door. Stop, the chief referee, Denny says, unfolding himself from his chair. At the sound of his booming voice, I turn around. Denny's a bear of a man. He's wearing his full referee uniform. The shirt's so tight, the vertical black lines become semicircles as they pass over his barrel stomach. How many kids do you have? Two, I reply. Is one of them a little girl? Yes. Think about her. Think how important it will be for your daughter and all the other little girls to see you in that referee outfit. To see a woman referee. Zap! He girl-powered guilted me. I was trapped. Hi, I'm Dee Ryan. I have a boy and a girl, but I'm here for all our daughters. Open your referee handbooks to page 1 and let's begin, Denny shouts. Win the toss, lose the ball. Denny reads from the manual. His sure words echo in the vast gymnasium, making the soccer rules feel like commandments from a god. Now, I'm not an athlete. I like putting on plays. I never played soccer. No one played soccer when I was young. In fact, the only sport I played was softball, because my father volunteered to coach. Title IX required each town that had a boys' baseball team to have a girls' softball team. Think about what it will mean to your little girl if you coach their team, the voice on the phone had said to my dad, and so he volunteered. Obviously, there's a genetic pattern here. I was a terrible softball player. My sister was the best on the team. I couldn't catch a ball, so I would stand in left field picking daisies and play-acting, sacrificing body parts whenever a ball would be hit towards me. Early in the softball season, I caught a fly ball in the eye and went to my sixth grade dance with a shiner. That's the extent of my sports resume. This is what I'm thinking as Denny reviews with us the elements of a soccer field. Very soon, I realize I am deeply over my head here. I search for an exit strategy. Perhaps if I feign an attack of endometriosis, they'll set me free. I grab my pelvis and moan. The men all stare down at their FIFA laws of the game booklets. I moan louder. Nothing. I give up. Maybe I'll sneak out at lunch. After lunch and my failed attempt to sneak out after a bathroom break. Ryan, where do you think you're going? Oh, I thought this was the door to the gym. Oh, no. Oh, duh. were marched outside in a single line onto a playing field. Yes, here's my exit strategy. Please kill me. But instead of a blindfold, I'm handed two red flags. For the next half hour, we practice our flag work. Corner kick, offside, goal kick, score. I try my own series, land the jet, SOS, caw, caw, Rodan. I passed my AYSO referee test. I tried to flunk my test. It's a written test with 20 true-false questions. I did flunk my test, but Denny wouldn't let me fail. Come on, you know the answer to number 6, Denny urges me. I don't. I've been checked out for the last 3 hours, since just after flag work and lunch, when I discovered I would be required to wear an official AYSO referee uniform at all the games. What? The last time I wore a uniform was in marching band. No, never again. I don't want to dress like a bumblebee. I don't want to look like you. I want to dress like a teenager in jeans and a form-fitting t-shirt. You know, the official uniform of the Hollywood soccer mom. Then, I immediately descended into a shame spiral and ate mine and the dad sitting next to me's chocolate chip cookie. Spent the rest of the afternoon in a sugar crash, rocking back and forth, aimlessly circling true or false answers. I graduate bottom of my class. We're handed our uniforms, a whistle, knee socks, a badge. We actually take a class picture. Denny shakes hands with all the dads, then hugs me too close for too long. I leave Pan Pacific Park an AYSO referee, but my path to becoming a referee has just begun. I'm not going, my 8-year-old son says. Because it's my first game and you're scared for mommy? No, you look bad in those shorts. They're all bunched up at the tummy. I've been told some species eat their young. What? I think I look good, I lie. Besides, I know some people that wear ridiculous costumes that you think are cool. Who? He asks. Who? Superman? Wonder Woman? I suddenly wish this uniform had a cape. Yeah, but their costumes don't bunch up at the tummy. In their prime, they didn't. Let's grab the invisible plane and visit Wonder Woman on Lesbo Island and see what she looks like now that she's 40 and dropped 2 kids. I shove my whistle in my pocket and slap my Velcro badge onto my bumblebee-striped shirt, aware that this is a touch point for my son and me. I say, "We're growing up, you and me. You used to think I was perfect. You used to ask me to marry you. Talk about embarrassing and illegal." I'm incredibly nervous at my first game. I introduce myself to the coaches. I line the 2 competing teams up. I shake hands with the 6-year-old captains. I check their uniforms and shoes. Are any of you wearing jewelry? No watches? I hope you left your pearls at home. They suggested at referee camp that starting with a joke is a good way to show the children you're an okay guy. They even supplied this one. I get a courtesy laugh from the blue terrors and red lanterns, and away we go. Always whispering to myself, point in the direction of the team that kicked the ball out's goal and announce it's the other team's ball. Point in the direction of the team that kicked the ball out's goal and announce it's the other team's ball. Oh my. One of the first things they tell you in referee clinic is that in soccer there is no heckling the referee. Absolutely not. But the other parents haven't taken the referee clinic. The parents, like rabble, stand in packs at the sidelines. These people that 15 minutes ago were my neighbors and friends are now my enemy. They stare at me, shake their heads. Offside, offside. They point at their son. They point at the other players. Point at me. I'm surrounded. They stand along the horizon like natives in that movie Zulu, waiting for me to make a mistake so they can attack me with their coolers and sunbrella umbrellas and Costco camp chairs. But I survive that first game. Game 2. I'm a little hungover. I shouldn't have had those 3 glasses of wine last night. What was I thinking? I should have hit the bed early for my big game. At the half, I can't remember which direction the teams should go. They should switch sides. I'm refereeing the 6 and unders, and they can't remember which way they should go either. I give away all my power when I ask the 6-year-old captains which way they think they should be headed. Chaos reigns as children run one way down the field and parents scream for them to go the other way. They still make me referee. I get emailed a schedule every Thursday evening. I open the file and my heart sinks. Ryan, U8, 9 a.m., Fairfax Field. Game 10, I referee on Sunday for the Jewish soccer team. Now I've got the patter down and I begin to improvise. Shlomo, shake hands with Abraham. Abraham, you led your people through the desert for 40 years. You call, heads or tails. Tails it is. Okay, gentlemen, no jewelry, no watches, no foreskins. Play ball.
Hi, I'm Donald Faison. Please do me a favor and go see Next Day Air this weekend. You're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Podcast.
Deep into the season, a father heckles me and will not stop. Did you see that? That's tripping. That's a penalty. I try my mantra, point in the direction of the team that kicked the ball's out's goal and announce the other team's ball. All I hear is the heckling father. Oh, come on. You're horrible. You don't know what you're doing. He's calling me out as a fraud. I am a fraud. What am I doing on a soccer field refereeing? And honestly, this speaks to a bigger issue. Who let me raise children? I've been feeling like a fraud for the last 8 years. This soccer referee thing is really a cry for help, like an addict who leaves his drug paraphernalia out on the coffee table for his parents to see. Someone bust me. Every time I go to the park without juice boxes or snacks or sunscreen, and I see the other moms shake their heads in dismay, I know I'm a fraud. A real mom answers, no. I won't referee because I have to take care of my own kids at the game. I catch sight of my 4-year-old daughter wandering aimlessly on the sidelines, hatless, without sunscreen, probably suffering from heat stroke. Fraud. He's in my head. I'm making all kinds of bad calls now. I've got to do something. Other parents, feeling empowered, start to heckle me as well. What the? I am so sick of all this judgment, especially my own judgment of myself. Jesus, the kids are all right. They're not geniuses, but they're not idiots either. I'm no jock, but I've begun to enjoy running up and down this field. And I like the kids, and yes, I like it when the girls ask me, "You're the referee?" This has got to stop. At the quarter break, I drag myself over to the angry dad. "You, can you please stop questioning all my calls?" "But that was Yellow's ball. There was an injured child on the field. So what? There must be 50 throw-ins each game. These kids are 8. We don't even keep score." "Aw, come on. No. See this badge? This badge says I'm the authority figure here. I make the calls, not you. If you want to referee, then why don't you come on out and volunteer to do it? You wear this ridiculous costume. You spend an extra hour every weekend running up and down in the sun. You listen to the whining of all the parents on the field. Suddenly, I'm on a tear. You know, you should be ashamed of yourself. What kind of lesson are you teaching these kids? Heckling the referee. I'm a volunteer. You want to referee? Then step up. Get off the sidelines and put on the uniform or shut it." He opens his mouth to continue. Fast as lightning, I pull a bent and folded red card from my back pocket. "One more word, and you're out of here." Says who? Says me, and all of the other people on this field dressed in bumblebee outfits. And then I show the card to every other parent on the sideline. That goes for all of you. The rest of the game is played in silence, except for once. For the sound of children playing soccer. At the end of the game, the heckler's wife seeks me out and apologizes for her husband's bad behavior. Really, I should have thanked him. His rudeness made me own my own inner soccer referee. Shoot, it wasn't really his fault. He took me on because he thought I was just a mommy referee. He didn't realize I was a bitch. What's the difference between a pit bull and a soccer mom? No, not lipstick. A soccer mom has balls and a vagina. I'm so glad when that first season is over. I leap into the air and slap high fives with the other players. "Let's never do that again," I scream. I give my scorecards to Denny, who is reffing the next game. "Good game, ref," Denny says. "Thanks. Have a good game yourself," I reply. "I thought you wouldn't last the season," he adds. Nobody's more surprised than me. And so it goes. For the last 4 years, In September, dressed in yellow and black bumblebee stripes, I buzz and whistle past boys and girls 4 times younger than myself. I serpentine across the soccer field, weighing the justice of the footy ball as it rolls in and out of the white chalk lines. God, I wish this uniform had a cape.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your red cards via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Just click on forum. You can also find us at facebook.com, myspace.com/reducedshakespeare. Become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, Big Mama Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Seema Mehta. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Donald Faison from Scrubs. Go see Donald's movie Next Day Air, which he produced and stars in. It's getting great reviews, and you'll probably have to since Star Trek will be sold out. Special thanks also to Esme Scarborough and her mum, our lovely and talented stage manager, Rose Scarborough. And very special thanks to Paul and Storm, who wrote the haunting musical tribute to Mothers Everywhere, with which we will close out the podcast. Check out their very funny website, paulandstorm.com. Follow them on Twitter, buy their songs, attend their concerts like I'm going to get to do on May 17th at Largo here in Los Angeles, where they'll be performing with Jonathan Colton. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 127,381st of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Mother's Day is here, everybody give a cheer for the ladies that we call our mother dear, our mother dear. I tried to find a card, but you know, it's really hard to find the one that captures all the love that's in my heart. And so instead, I'm singing you this song. Because I am so grateful to you, Mom. Grateful to you, Mom. So I say thanks for having intercourse with Dad. Without a condom, sponge, or IUD, your lack of objection to sex without protection made a sperm and egg turn into me. You gave me life, love, a home, and food, and clothing every day. I gave you stretch marks and extra weight that never quite went away. I mean it. Thanks for having intercourse with Dad. The carnal act that brought me here to you, doodly-doo. I don't know if it was varied or merely missionary, but it sure was good for me, was it for you? I'm elated that you mated, your love you consummated, you got inseminated, then waited and inflated, inside you I gestated, until from your womb I cascaded. Thank you, Mom, for doing my dad. I'm so glad that he had you. Thanks for doing my dad.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.